Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Ms. Amy. How are you doing this fine spring day?
It's beautiful. I love it. A lot of pollen, but it's...
If we can get past that.
It's beautiful.
The temperature's right.
It is. It's perfect. I'm so happy that it's getting nice. Do you believe it's like 2 weeks ago, I think, when we were driving to the studio on Wednesday morning, we had flurries?
Right, that flurry of snow.
That was
odd. And then it's 90 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, I'm loving it, though. This is my favorite time of year here, I think.
Yeah, I know.
Beautiful. So you're heading to Chicago.
Yes. And you're supposed to give me the list of things to do. Are you working on that?
I'm working on that list right now. I've got the best sushi in my mind in Chicago. Some great museums. Got to go to the aquarium.
Okay, but I want to go to the off-the-beaten-path things.
Some of these
I don't want the, you know,
commercial.
Where all the regular tourists go.
Needless
the locals.
To say,
I want the local fun.
So I should probably cross the Hard Rock Cafe off my list.
No chains.
No, that's not even on here. But you know, Lee, if you were going to Cartersville, I would have a great list for you today, too. But instead, we're going to let you hear all about the wonderful things in Cartersville. They're definitely off the beaten path, and that's why we wanted to come on the show today, so we can get our listeners up to see them.
That's it.
You know, and also, I got to say, people think of Cartersville like they have to pack an overnight bag.
Right.
Like, that's where I go for weekly meetings, and I go and I
come
right
back. How far away is it?
From the studio, it probably takes me 45 minutes to get there. Not even.
Just down the road.
Down the road. And if I went to the Shedd Aquarium, it would take me at least 45 minutes from here.
That's right.
Because I'd have to park and go through
the
all
hassle,
that.
The hassle. Traffic.
Yeah, definitely. If you're into science, hang tight and definitely go visit Adam at the Telus Science Museum in Cartersville. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Adam.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. You know, I had the pleasure of visiting the Telus Museum, thanks to you, and it's amazing. But we want you to tell our listeners a little bit about the history of the museum. How long has it been around?
Well, we just opened a little over a year ago, January 12, 2009. But our history actually dates back even further than that to 1983, when the city of Cartersville actually opened a little rock museum called the Wyman Mineral Museum. And for over 25 years, we had it was one of the major field trip destinations for Metro Atlanta students and all the way up through North Georgia. And during that time, we would see a little over 120 students a day, and we really just became we just got to capacity. And the students and the teachers kept asking, you know, can you do this? Can you do this? And we actually we were very fortunate. We had the funding to construct the new museum and actually purchase the land. We have 50 acres of property, and Telus is now 120,000 square feet. So we, within that first year of operation, we had a little over 200,000 visitors come out to see us.
And it definitely ignites the young mind. My kids at 13 and 14 absolutely loved it. And tell us a little bit about the special exhibits and the different galleries. What can someone expect when they come?
Well, actually, there's a multitude of exhibits there at the museum. Under one roof, you will have gems, you'll have dinosaurs, old cars, and a children's gallery. So within those spaces, we have the Wyman Mineral Gallery, which has over 8,000 rocks and minerals from all over the world. We try to focus as much as possible to a local impact as well as the southeastern. Beyond that, we have dinosaurs. We have more of the more recognizable the T-Rex that's, one of our centerpieces. We have an Apatosaurus in the Great Hall that's 82 feet long and 23 feet high. So he's there to welcome you as you come in. Then we get into the early automobiles, transportation. We have antique vehicles that predate the steering wheel. They have the tiller steering is the one handle. All open air, so certainly something that we would not enjoy today, but we just really want to show you how things were in the early days of transportation. Then we get into the Collins family, My Big Backyard, and this is where kids of all ages, even to the inner kid and the adults, get to come out, and you can go into a tree, and it turns into a weather station. We have a greenhouse where you can do experiments on light and color, so certainly a lot of different things there for those individuals.
So it's very hands-on.
It is.
Tell us a little bit about the painting for gold or painting for rocks.
I like that.
I did. I really like that.
We actually had this activity at the Wyman for many years. It was outdoors. So and you can see in the wintertime, it does get cold here. And the staff would go out and chip off the ice, and the kids just loved it. Evidently, they have bionic little hands and could stick their in the cold water and enjoy it. But we wanted to bring that activity inside and it is now the Vulcan Materials Gym Panning, and they it looks like an old mine town, and so you get your little pan, and you put it in the water and the sand, and you get to find all the little gemstones, and what's unique about this is whatever you find, you get to keep.
And is there really stuff there?
There's good stuff there, Lee. Mm-hmm. I have a little Ziploc bag. I might actually make something out of them.
Really?
Yeah,
so there's quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of different colored stones. I mean, I don't. And then there's a chart where you can identify them.
What they are?
Yeah, right. my kids love that. And then there's a place where you can dig up bones.
Oh, like fossils?
Yep. And you have fossils, and you actually get to keep the fossils you find in there as well.
Oh, wow. So lots of takeaways. Mm-hmm. Kids love that.
A lot of takeaways.
Are there really fossils here? Like, can you find
actually,
fossils in this area?
You sure can. In the fossil gallery, a lot of folks will realize that there were dinosaurs walking around, but we want to show you that there were. And actually, our state fossil is the shark tooth. So within the fossil dig, you'll find a couple of the shark teeth there.
Did you know that?
The shark tooth, but around the coast, or was this submerged at one point?
At one time, over the course of many, many, many years, predating going back to Pangaea, where there was one supercontinent, over time, Georgia was underwater and became a coastline and to its current state now. So this is where you find a lot of the shark teeth now. So you can find it in Atlanta if you're digging around in your yard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's a good trivia question for Max, for your son.
That's a good
What's the state fossil?
State fossil.
The shark tooth.
Wow, would have never guessed that.
Now, there's also an incredible planetarium.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's 120 seat, and it's a 40-foot dome, and is the only digital planetarium that's regularly open to the public in Northwest Georgia. So not only can we do live astronomy programming, but we can show you things on volcanoes and oceans. And so we have four shows that run continuously throughout the day at different times, as well as our live programming that you can come in. And if you went out that evening, we try to show you what you would see.
I'd like to move into that room. It's amazing. The seats are so comfortable. You sit way back, and then you know, it's all of the media is all around you.
Right.
It's awesome.
So, do you play like movies and shows?
We do
that are not just like all sciencey.
Right. We right now we have a new show that we typically change out the programming every 2 to 3 months and try to keep it fresh so you can come back and see something new. But right now our new program is The Origins of Life, so it kind of goes back to. We call the germs of the early ages and kind of brings you and walks you through to the current state now. So not only it's not always sciencey, we have children's programming, you know, for the smaller kids, and we're looking at one now with Elmo. So hopefully we can have that.
Very neat. And I would love to go see the stars, too. Tell us about that whole satellite and the live. The person that's in the planetarium knows a lot about
they
the
certainly
stars,
do.
That's for sure.
Right. They are a staff member at the museum, and they're certainly well-versed in all the constellations. And so they really walk you through. It's interactive. They try to get you to respond by asking questions. And one of the nice things is they can go 1,000 years in the future and 1,000 years in the past and kind of show you the alignments of the stars. So it's certainly unique.
It's really cool, Lee.
So do you have to go to these planetarium events in the evening to see everything?
No. You can. What's so great about the planetarium is that we can bring the stars to you at any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, we also have an observatory out on the grounds. And it's a 20-inch scope, so you can come out in the evening, and we have special events, and you can see the rings of Saturn and the surface of the moon, and it's something for
how
a lot.
You see it pretty good?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, Saturn's right up. It almost looks like someone put a sticker on the and so you have to kind of look off to the side to make sure that it's really not. But, you know, a lot of kids have never seen that, so they get an opportunity to put their eye up to the scope and take a look.
A lot of adults have never seen that.
Does that get crowded?
It does. When we have these events, and it's one of our more popular events that our members and our guests request, you know, when are you going to do the next viewing? And unfortunately, you know, if you have 1,000 individuals and come out, it takes a little time to
get everybody through.
So what we try to do is bring mobile scopes out, and you can do a little viewing and learning as you wait.
Right.
Something tells me these scopes are a little bit more powerful and more expensive than the one that I have in my backyard.
just a little bit.
Which leads us to the question of funding. How are y'all funded?
We are a 501c3, and all our revenue streams come from admissions and memberships. And one of the things that we try to do now that since we've been open, we have a lot of opportunities for sponsorship. We have a lot of exciting events that that happen throughout the year, and that's a huge revenue stream for us.
Is there any, do you tie in with corporations to kind of work with them?
We do. And as I mentioned, we have the Vulcan material gym painting, and certainly they came in early on with the project and identified that was the area fitting as being a mining company. And certainly we have a lot of opportunities that we can make sure it's an appropriate fit for mm-hmm. you.
They might need the Radio X room there.
That's it, the history of broadcasting.
Right. As we know it. Boy, it has come a long way. Now, the rocks, I just was amazed at how many different things you had. Where do you get it all?
A lot of these have been acquired over time.
Adam's got a shovel in his backyard.
We actually have a lot of folks that come in and donate these items. There's collectors out there that over time have decided to move on or start collecting other things and want to make sure that these are preserved in a museum for a lot of people to come out and see.
How do you find them? Do you search them out or they find you?
It's a little bit of both. They certainly when they come out and they visit the museum and see just how big and how impactful it is, they start bringing collections in. A lot of times we go out to different parts of the country and try to tell our story and hopefully that they will find a home with us. And so it's a little bit of both.
You've got to talk about the periodic table. Lee, this was my favorite part of the museum.
The periodic table.
An entire wall with the periodic table, but in these little shadow boxes with things that
the actual thing that's in the periodic table.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a unique way of explaining the periodic. You know, most of us looked in a textbook and, you know, we see all the different colors and the boxes and the formulas and, you know, for the test, you learn it and you forget about it. Well, what we try to do is make this larger than life, and you have all these individual boxes, and you'll have the what it relates to, the chemical or the aluminum, and you'll see the can. So it's more real world, and you can relate to a little easier than you can just reading it. So that's what makes it unique.
And borax. I don't remember which element, but ever since my son's been asking to go buy borax for some science experiment. But yeah, I mean, that was impactful.
Yes.
Could have spent a lot of time looking at that, no mm-hmm. doubt.
Do you guys tie in with those science fairs and do you do any work with them, the kids?
We're starting to. Our biggest thing is our programming. We have over 40 programs for K through 12, and our target market typically is third and fifth graders that come in, but certainly we can meet those programming needs for any age group.
They also have this thing from Georgia Tech. Talk a little bit about that house, because
yes,
that was very cool.
It's
completely self-contained.
We have a house that the Tech students built for the Solar Decathlon, and actually they came in sixth place. And after the competition, it was sitting at the Tech campus, and they needed to find a home. So Green Habitats became the steward of the home, and we're kind of shopping around to see where they wanted to put it, and actually came across TELUS and decided that was the appropriate home for that. And we actually give tours through the house, and it is totally self-sufficient. It's cutting-edge technology. It has solar panels and computers that will actually forecast out and start cutting power off if they know that there's going to be clouds, overcasts, and storms coming in. So it is it's a fun, fun house.
It's very cool.
Yeah, that's a logical tie-in partner for you guys, the mm-hmm. Georgia Tech.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing about this house is you are aware of how much we have that we don't need. I mean,
right.
It's so tiny and so self-contained, and the little bitty shower, and the kitchen was even really cool. You know how I am with the kitchen. The kitchen was very cool. I could cook in that.
I like the Sub-Zero in there.
Yeah, very nice. Very, very nice. Well, gosh, Adam, we could talk to you all morning, but we want folks to come visit you so you can talk to them there and show them all the wonderful things at the TELUS Science Museum. How can they reach you? Do you have a website?
We do. It's www.telusmuseum.org, and our phone number is 770-386-0576, and we're open 7 days a week from 10 to 5.
Great trip, especially with spring break being right now. You know,
yeah.
if you didn't go out of town,
things to do.
Wonderful things to do. And I'm telling y'all, it is not that far. And when you leave, there are great places to eat in Cartersville, cute little shops.
And
for
they
the moms.
People can email you and you'll give them that list.
Yeah. Email me at Amy at Atlanta Business Radio Show, and I'll give you the insight on the shopping and the food, too. Thanks for being with us today, Adam.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Tom Robertson with the Booth Western Art Museum, also in Cartersville. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Tom.
Good morning.
So, Tom, a lot of people think Western art, what's that? Is it just dusty cowboy boots? Tell us all about the museum and how it started.
Well, you're right. So many people think that, you start talking about a museum in Cartersville and Western art and the image of someone's home that they've converted, with some paintings on the walls is pretty much until they walk in the front door. And it's jaw-dropping. It is an absolutely amazing facility. We opened in 2003, so it's 7 years old. And we are also a Smithsonian-affiliated museum. 120,000 square feet of Western art. And our concentration, which is unique in itself among the Western art museums, is that we actually focus on living artists that are producing Western art. That allows us the real advantage of being able to have a continual stream of these very, very talented artists come to the booth that do lectures and actually demonstrations and workshops. And the art is just unbelievable. It's kind of a catchphrase. It's art for guys who don't like art.
And when you say Western art, what does that mean, really?
Well, it is a little bit difficult to define because a lot of people think, well, Western art meaning, Western history, and it's actually West, like the movement West. Pretty much what happens is, let me go all the way back to the beginning. In essence, this level of art came about because people needed to document the movement West. At one time, the western side of Plymouth Rock was the West. And so as the West began to develop in the movement West, and there were no cameras at that particular time, so guys like Lewis and Clark and the people that were going West, traditionally what they would do when they finally realized the need to document what they ran into in their travels, they began taking illustrators and artists with them to capture the historical events.
A lot of people, too, think that it sounds like something just for old people. You've got a lot of great stuff for kids. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the exhibits you have and the educational programs you offer children?
Actually, that's one of our strongest programs. Our education department, we did a little over 40,000 people through the Booth Museum last year, and a large percentage of those were school groups. And what we love to do is utilize the art as an educational process for those kids. So what we'll do with kids come in as school groups or whatever, and we actually have events, or not events necessarily, but what's the word I'm looking for? Actually, in each gallery, we have a docent that'll actually do little activities.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we'll give them a list and we'll say, okay, find a cowboy helping out a stranded animal or something. And so they have to think cognitively. They will go in and find the art, so they have to look at the art to see what's going on. In addition, the storytelling side of it, we have several pieces of art that we'll point out to them and say, okay, tell me what's going on here. What are the cowboys thinking along this process? And actually, we're kicking off a program that's going to be very, very interesting in K through 5 literacy program, where we actually want to focus on using the art for the cognitive processes and to advance the literacy, learning to read. We have a cowboy poetry contest that we do each year. And there we go into the high schools, and we actually, Doc Stovall is our representative there, who is an actual cowboy. So when he enters the classroom with the big hat and the boots and starts talking about the cowboy poetry, which actually this is kind of interesting as well. Cowboy poetry came about pretty much as the cowboys were driving the cattle to market at night. There was nothing else going on, so they wrote songs and poetry. And so we have a program now to kind of reinitiate that to this generation. And we give them an opportunity. They actually compete by writing their own original poetry about something in the West. Mm-hmm. And it all culminates at our annual gathering, where they stand on stage and they recite their original poems.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. What was the impetus of creating this Center for Western Art on the East?
well, it goes back. Our benefactor or interested family, if you will, began collecting movie posters. And this, as they became a little more interested and their ability to purchase became a little stronger, they began collecting Western art. So when they got to the point to where, and they were from the area, and so they got to the point of retiring and selling a business, they had all of this art, and so they said, you know what, we really want to share this with everybody. And so that really was the impetus for the Booth Western Art Museum coming about.
The Sagebrush Ranch for kids. Talk a little bit about that.
The Sagebrush is great. It is purely for kids. When you go in, we have a horse that's there for the, you want to saddle up and ride, which is really great. And when you get near the horse, he actually makes the horse sound. We have all kinds of other activities that they can do. We have a stagecoach that they can get in, and out the side window, there's a, you can see the terrain flowing by like you were moving, and they can rock it. They're just all kinds of activities for the kiddos in the Sagebrush Ranch, and the good news is there's absolutely nothing in there that they can destroy.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? You actually have to pull them out of there, though. I mean, literally, you hear a lot of screaming by the door.
They scream and they run, and they, I mean, it is just they can't hurt themselves and they can't hurt anything there. So it is one of our best attended activities, actually.
And then it's an authentic like.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. We have a recreation of a bunkhouse, mm-hmm. with the bed rack with the ropes, basically, mm-hmm. making the bed. It's very authentic, actually.
My screensaver for the last 3 years has been me on that horse with my kids. It's pretty funny, and I think about it often. I mean, they had so much fun.
Oh yeah, when the kiddos get in there, they can spend as much time as their moms will allow.
Yeah. Do you have anything upcoming, any events or any?
Yes, we do, actually. We are coming up, and we're kind of doing a little bit of a shift. One of our big frustrations, and I think we've chatted about this earlier, is that the booth is in Cartersville and only 35 miles up the road, but so many people are not aware of us. And so we are trying to build the booth name and get people up to see that. And one of the ways we're doing that is we're making a little bit of a shift, even though it's the Booth Western Art Museum. We have so much more. We have a presidential gallery, and that's one of the things that's a big attraction. We're almost, and we even toyed with the idea of was the Booth Western Art Museum somewhat of a misnomer, because we have a great presidential gallery.
What is that?
In the presidential gallery, we actually have a portrait and an original handwritten piece and some memorabilia from every president going back to George Washington. And we have, as a matter of fact, even the current president, President Obama, we have his portrait up. And on his handwritten piece, we got a little bit greedy there. We didn't want just a piece of his handwriting. We actually asked him to write something to the booth. So we're still waiting on that, but we'll see how that turns out. But it is a magnificent area. And again, when we're doing tours, it's one of the last places we stop by, because generally people want to spend, you know, hours in there looking at that. And in addition, we have the Civil War Gallery, which we just, with the latest, we just opened a 40,000 square foot expansion last October. And one of the things that came out of that was that we doubled the Civil War Gallery space. And we have art in there from the Civil War by artists such as Don Triani, Mort Kunstler, some wonderful sculptures by James Muir. And the Civil War Gallery is just breathtaking. I mean, you can spend as much time there as well as you wish. So in addition to the Western Art, the Presidential Gallery, the Civil War Gallery, and then coming up, one of the things we're going to do pretty unique is in May we're opening up a photographic exhibition, photographs by Tom Murphy. Tom is a photographer, one of the few that's licensed in Yellowstone Park to take tours, photographic seminars into the park. This last winter, around Christmas, there was a piece on PBS called "Christmas in Yellowstone," mm-hmm. and if you had a chance to see that, Tom was the artist that they were tracking through Yellowstone and capturing the art. His works in capturing the wildlife and just the absolute grandeur of Yellowstone are just unbelievable. And we're opening that exhibition on May the 21st, and that'll be in there through September. And then following that in September, we're going to kind of stay in the photographic realm. We're opening up a magnificent show of over 100 pieces of Ansel Adams' work.
Wow.
And these specifically are pieces that were produced in Ansel Adams' darkroom and were donated to a group called Friends of Ansel Adams. And the purpose of that organization was to ensure that his legacy would live on after him. So this is a tour, this is an exhibition that's touring, and we feel like this may be one of the most significant exhibitions that we've opened in quite some time.
And yeah. that's a traveling?
That is a traveling, and it'll occupy. We have two temporary galleries,
right.
and that's what we do. We'll have the Tom Murphy in there, and then the Ansel Adams exhibition is so large it's going to take up both of our galleries, and it'll be up there for 6 months through March of 2011.
But do you also have regular events that happen throughout the year?
Right. We do three special events now as of last year. In the spring in March, we just completed the Cowboy Gathering. And that is, we have a number of events around that music. We have a fiddling contest that goes on. That is the culmination of the youth poetry contest, where they actually stand up in front of a crowd and recite and compete for cash awards, as a matter of fact. Then in October, August, we're going to hold our second annual gala, which is a fundraising event at the booth. And that's really nice. We give a lifetime achievement award to one of our artists that has made a significant impact in the Western art genre. So that'll be in August, August the 21st. And then in October, we do the Cowboy Symposium. And that is really interesting in the fact that we have a space, a piece of land just above the museum where we have an encampment of Native American encampment that they actually set up a Native village. And what's really interesting, a lot of folks don't realize that not all Native Americans slept in teepees. The Eastern Indians slept more in what they would call a lodge. So it was a larger type of facility that they built, and the teepees were mostly the Western Indians that slept in those. So we have those kinds of demonstrations. We have folks that will be doing a recreation of the gunfight at the OK Corral. We have, again, music events. People come all weekend. We'll have maybe 5,000-6,000 people that will attend that weekend, and they will come in their dress. So last year I was standing at the front entry, and Hopalong Cassidy came in, as a matter of fact.
You never know who you'll see.
You never really know. There are mountain men and women that come in. There are just people that come in the native dress that really kind of get into the part.
Any John Waynes?
No, you know, Duke hasn't shown up yet, but we're anticipating him anytime.
You never know. Now, is there a website folks can go to find your calendar of events?
It's www.boothmuseum.org. And by telephone, you can reach us at 770-387-1300.
Perfect. A lot of great information. You got to check that one out, too,
that's
Lee.
That's cool. Knock them both out in one day, right?
Well, that would be a full day, but it would be good.
It will be a full day. It
would be a good day. Thanks so much for being with us today, Tom. We hope folks will make the trip up to Cartersville because it's definitely worth it. And the Booth Museum, it's huge. It's as big as the Science Museum. I had no idea how big it would be and how much time I would want to spend there.
Right.
It's great.
The Booth and Tellus actually are the second and third largest museums in Georgia.
Wow.
Can you believe that? I mean, they really are.
Are they close to each other?
Yeah, they're, 5 miles apart, I guess, with Adam.
Wow.
Terrific. Well, thanks for being with us today. I encourage all of our listeners to visit both of those wonderful spots. Next up, Lee, there are certain guests that we have that I feel, gosh, what have I done with my life? She's been listed as one of the most powerful women under 30. I guess it's called the Atlanta's Power of 30 Under 30. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Ariane Moore, who is the founder and publisher of Enliven Atlanta. Enliven, right?
Enliven.
Enliven, Enliven, you know. Maybe I'm going to make a song out of it. Tell us about Enliven Atlanta.
Enliven Atlanta is a fitness and media services company that we cater to nonprofit organizations, wellness organizations, and churches. And in addition to that, we also publish the magazine Enliven Atlanta.
So Enliven Atlanta, how did you come up with the idea? What made you start it? I mean, you don't just sit around and say, gosh, I'm going to start a magazine. How'd you come up with it?
Well, Enliven Atlanta was born out of my struggles with weight, and I'm a Atlanta native, born and raised here in Atlanta, and I struggled with weight as a child and as a young adult. And so when I lost the weight, God gave me this vision to help other people, and especially people who are underserved and don't have the same resources as other populations. So I started the magazine with that mission, and we specifically target African-American and Hispanic populations who are now leading in obesity and chronic disease.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it, again, goes back to the opportunities that are available in the communities and the neighborhoods where they live. I didn't know about exercise. I tell a lot of people this testimony. I didn't know that exercise was something that you were supposed to incorporate into your daily lifestyle. I remember the first time I saw someone running down the street, I was just appalled. I didn't know what they were doing. And then
you thought someone was chasing them.
Right.
They stole something.
Right. And in addition, the nutrition factor is something that I learned about once I went to college. It was not something that was taught to me. We ate fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and collard greens with ham hocks and cornbread. So that's what I grew up on.
So you're saying that's a problem.
Right.
In moderation, but yeah, that's all you ate. Yeah, no doubt. So Enliven in Atlanta is a great resource to the community. How can people get it?
The magazine is distributed, again, in specifically African-American communities. We are left at YMCAs and churches. We do have a great connection with the churches in the community because this is a Christian-based magazine. We are also at gyms, spas, salons, and it's also viewable and downloadable on our website.
Are you finding that the churches are open to, hosting fitness classes and sharing information about healthy eating?
Absolutely. One thing that I found in my research is that Christians are actually leading in obesity and chronic disease. And I think it may be because the church has not focused a lot on the physical. We focused a lot on the spiritual, but not on the physical aspect of serving God and admiring Him by honoring your body. And but now I found that a lot of churches actually have gyms inside of their facilities. They have wellness programs. We did a spread in the last issue on a few pastors that have fitness programs at their churches.
Now, how do you go about kind of helping them, kind of either introduce those kind of that kind of programming or kind of spread the word once they decide to do that? You know, how to get the community. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, we have a fitness class. And then it's another thing to get people to actually show up for the fitness class to exercise so they do get the benefits of it. And sometimes there's a disconnect with that.
I agree. And one of the things that we do as fitness and media services company, is that we do offer media services for a low cost to the churches, where we'll write press releases and distribute them to local media, as well as post the information on our website. We also help them to establish wellness programs if they don't already have any. And then in addition to that, if there's a story or an event or anything that they have coming up, we're very open to posting information on our website and distributing information when we're out doing health fairs.
So what's a health fair entail?
We do a number of health fairs here locally. We just did one, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, at the Adamsville Recreation Center. This was an amazing event. It was held by Choices, which is an organization that works with overweight and obese children. Choices stands for the Center Helping Obesity and Children End Successfully. And they had their fifth annual Children's Nutrition Education Expo. Mayor Kasim Reed was there, as well as Councilman C.T. Martin. Some WSB people were there. It was just an awesome program. But we do health fairs like this at least once or twice a month, where we go out and distribute the magazines and really introduce, the company and our vision to the readers.
The magazine's full of information, too. I love the favorite meal makeover, one of my favorite wings in here. I'm anxious to see how I can change my recipe. It says to use Fiber One cereal for the breading. That's an interesting idea.
That, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that a try.
Now, what technique did you use to lose the weight?
The technique that I use, which is probably one that is new to America, but I really prayed. Honestly, I really studied scripture, because one of the things that I found is that we're so into trends and we're so into quick fixes in our country. And I think that that's the reason why people continue to struggle with weight, is because we see the lose weight in 30 days and, you know, try this pill and the weight will come off. But those things never work. I've tried all of them. They do not work. It's a complete waste of money. But once I started to just really understand how precious my body was and what I was doing to it, that's what helped me to want to exercise and want to educate myself on proper nutrition.
And then that helped, by being that mindful about your body and your health, then that helped you make wiser choices when it came to eating right and exercising?
Yes.
That sounds so simple, doesn't it?
That's all you have to do.
Yeah. Lee. Lee also has another show that he does, Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. So a lot of this health and fitness is right up his alley. You hear stories every day, but when it comes down to it, so much of it is about being mindful of your body, no doubt. So how long has the magazine been around?
We just made our 1 year. This actual edition is our annual edition, so we're very excited to have crossed that that little, you know, leap, because it was a bad, you know, interesting economy last year, and so many people were nervous about whether businesses would be able to continue. So we're happy that we were one of them.
Happy birthday. We should have had a little birthday party.
That's
here.
It. Should have brought a cake.
We can, right.
A healthy cake.
Chocolate covered strawberries.
There you go.
That would have worked.
Dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, yes.
We seem to have a lot of guests lately that are celebrating a one-year anniversary, and it's exciting to see companies that, even with the economy the way it is, are thriving. Because there are still folks out there that are doing great, and always a need to be fit, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. In this country, come on, go to the mall.
One of the things that I just like to say about this magazine that's different from any other magazine that's out there is that we really believe that you have to reach people where they are. You can't tell people you can't eat this, you can't eat that, and they're not, because they're not going to do it. I mean, that's just the fact of it. So what we try to do is we try to make it easy for people. We do lunchtime workouts in there where you can get in exercise during your lunch hour or commercial. You know, when you're watching an hour or two of TV, you can do exercises during the commercial. We also do, as you mentioned, the favorite meal makeovers, where we give you your favorite foods, but we give it to you in a healthier version, a healthier recipe that's going to save you calories and is also going to be nutritious for you. And also, the magazine is not going to make you feel worse than you already feel. I remember when I was trying to lose weight, I would go to the grocery store and pick up the fitness magazines, and there was always some skinny model on the cover, and it was just heavy laden with advertisements. And so it really didn't benefit me. If anything, after flipping through, I felt that I was just much worse off than I was before I bought the magazine. So we really want this to be an inspiration to people and it to inspire them, as opposed to making them feel like, you know, they're hopeless in their weight loss struggles.
And then also you make a point to spotlight the success stories, because people like to see that. That's inspirational to see regular people that have achieved some sort of weight loss and kept it off. How do you find these people? Are they find you now?
Well, yeah, they do find us, but we also partner with a number of organizations here in Atlanta. One is the Fulton County Department of Health and Wellness, and they did a fitness challenge with us recently. And so the woman who lost, I believe it was about 20 pounds, is featured in this current edition. We also partner with the Atlanta Falcons Youth Foundation. We partner with the Center for Black Women's Wellness, Choices, GPAN, and a number of other organizations that are key assets to us in helping us to get out in the community and reach people.
So how can folks reach you, or if they want to look at Enliven as they're living in Atlanta, how can they go check out the magazine?
You can check out the magazine on the website. The website is www.enlivenatlanta.com, and that is ENLIVENatlanta.com. And on the website, we do have a tip of the day that is updated every day to give you some inspiration that will help you to live a healthy lifestyle.
I like that.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that, right?
You know, I've been doing calf raises the whole time she's been talking.
Calf raises?
Yeah, calf raises. Am I saying it right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Some days I have those days where I can't pronounce anything right. Oh, well.
It's that Kansas accent.
Yeah, that's what it is, the Kansas accent. Any final thoughts for our listeners? Any motivational stories or tidbits for the day?
Yes, I would like to just say, I know it's hot outside and everyone wants ice cream. So we have partnered with Ice Supreme, Almalicious Ice Supreme, and we have an alternative to cookies and cream ice cream, and it's called Enliven Cookie Supreme. And it's made with almonds, and it's all natural ingredients. And if you
natural cookies?
Yes.
You have a natural cookie.
There are actually organic cookies that you can actually purchase those at Whole Foods.
Okay.
But yes, there's
we'll
all
go along with this.
Natural. And the thing I want to tell people is you want to be more concerned about what you're putting into your body and whether it's going to sustain you. So if you want more information about the product or to purchase Enliven Cookie Supreme, again, visit our website. It's at enlivenatlanta.com.
And the Ice Supreme owner and founder was a guest on our show.
Just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
A month or two.
And he brought in samples, and it was so yummy.
No, my kid, that's what the ice cream he eats now.
Really?
It's that vanilla.
And you get it at Whole Foods?
Yeah.
Terrific. Yeah, that's a great partnership. It is. It's a tasty, sweet treat.
It's unique. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
No, I haven't either.
Almond-based ice cream. No milk, gluten-free, everything.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks so much for being our guest today. We hope folks will go online and check out Enliven Atlanta. And until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.